One of the most important tools in occupational health and safety is the hierarchy of controls. Unfortunately, it also is one of the least understood by the very people who must make it work, by employers and, to a lesser extent, their employees. If you sit down and read texts on safety engineering, industrial hygiene, or other similar topics, you will find some discussion of the hierarchy. But the details will vary. For most approaches, engineering controls top the hierarchy, representing the preferred solution to safety or health hazards. For some others, particularly for those dealing with chemical exposures, substitution of a less hazardous chemical is treated as the highest control. Some others treat substitution as one form of engineering controls, restoring engineering controls as the top of the hierarchy. Many chemical exposure rules reflect a simplified hierarchy that places administrative or work practice controls on the same level as engineering controls, both of them appearing above personal protective equipment, which is consistently the least preferred alternative. All of this language can be confusing. In fact, I've heard safety professionals describe fall protection systems as engineering controls, simply because the anchor points and the various components of the system all have to be engineered. But fall arrest and fall restraint are personal protective equipment, and they carry all of PPE's limitations. Rules that equate work practice or administrative controls with engineering controls often lead people to mistakenly believe that training in safe individual work practices, however difficult those practices may actually be to follow, will somehow eliminate the hazard. With this confusion, there is little wonder that many employers misunderstand the hierarchy and underestimate its value. They believe, at times, that the regulatory preference reflects a belief that engineering controls are better simply because they cost more. And by the way, that's not always true. The basic principles behind the hierarchy of controls are actually quite simple. A control that fully eliminates the hazard is always preferred to one that does not. And controls that do not depend on individual employee behavior for their effectiveness are always preferred to controls that must be precisely implemented by an employee before they will work. The hierarchy reflects a recognition that human error will occur. If a control relies upon error-free performance, it will inevitably fail. That is why a noise or respiratory hazard exists, even if effective personal protective equipment is used. And that is why interlocks on guards are better than the guard alone. Even though they do not make the guard stronger or any more effective when it is in place and properly used, instead, the interlock increases the likelihood that the guard will be in place and properly used. The hierarchy of controls does not address the control's effectiveness if everything is working properly. Instead, the hierarchy improves the control's reliability. The point is to reduce the consequences of individual human error. Should an employee who fails to seal check his or her respirator suffer lung disease? Should an employee who doesn't put in earplugs lose his or her hearing? Or should an employee who doesn't reinstall a guard have to give up one or two fingers in consequence? The hierarchy of controls recognizes that perfection in human performance cannot be attained. But it also recognizes that the price of failure should not be serious injury, illness, or death. I am Michael Wood, the administrator of the Occupational Safety and Health Division of the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services, which we generally refer to simply as Oregon OSHA. In addition to that role, I am a certified safety professional and a professional member of the American Society of Safety Engineers.